Well, welcome back. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I thank you for joining in today as we maybe finish up a study today on suffering and trials, what we've been talking about for about the past six lessons, I believe, or maybe more. But today we're going to go into a brand new topic having to do with suffering and trials, brothers and sisters, and we're going to see the last part of of the study, which is called chastisement. And this is indeed part of a Christian's suffering and trials. It would go under the category of suffering and trials, even though suffering and trials are different than this. We have seen that in our past studies that we have studied. But we're going to see what the Bible has to say about chastisement and just look into that a little bit and perhaps maybe finish out this study today. If not, then one more we'll have. But chastisement. Now, this is something that I don't think anybody completely misunderstands at all when it's spoken. The world still uses the word chastisement. It's still used in the world today, and it is a scriptural word. It is a Bible word. God's word uses it. Now, before closing out this study on suffering and trials, it wouldn't be proper not to include at least a brief section on what the Bible says concerning the Christian's chastening from God. Now, this study is completely geared to the born-again child of God. You've seen that since we've been in this study, and this is part of a Christian's relationship with the Heavenly Father, is chastisement. Chastisement is good to have part of this study because it sometimes includes suffering. And this type of suffering can be geared toward more like misbehavior or disobedience. Nevertheless, it's suffering. But it's coming from a Heavenly Father that loves you and cares about you and cares about your well-being. And when we get into the scriptures today, you're going to find out that anybody that tells you that God won't tear your hind end up is off their Fruit Loops or something like that, because they don't know the Lord very well, or they just haven't got his hand on them yet. But it's coming. It's coming. Now, this type of suffering, all Christians at one time or another have to be partakers of it. Even though chastisement will help us grow, it's also in line of it could be categorized as getting things back in proper order with the Father, so we can move on and learn. You know, I mean, suffering and trials, we talked about that, and a lot of that has had to do with learning and the Lord teaching us things. But chastisement is more like correction. It's correction. Punishment. As a matter of fact, the word chastisement itself means correction. It means punishment. Now, I know that's not a very politically correct thing in the world today. People have gotten so far away from punishment and correction that you just say a cross word to them, it hurts their feelings. And, I mean, it's really painful to get a cross word to somebody nowadays, much less tear their hind end up with a scourge or a whip. There are countries that still use punishment and correction. A lot of the Oriental countries still use it, and it works. It works because it deals with that flesh. It brings that flesh back in back under submission. Now, chastisement means correction. It means punishment. It means pain inflicted for punishment and correction. Yeah, pain. That's something that the world doesn't, especially in the United States and all these sissified groups that are running around saying you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that and you shouldn't punish this and shouldn't punish. Well, that's not what the Word of God says at all. God says the blueness of the womb cleanseth the soul. Yeah. He's talking about whipping you hard enough and putting you in enough pain where you turn blue. Now, that's not foreign to anybody that's my age and came up in our era. I mean, your neighbor'd tear your hind end up if you was misbehaving. But, and it didn't kill us. It taught us. It taught us and kept us out of a lot more trouble. But that's not the way the world sees things now, but that doesn't change what the truth is. That doesn't change what the truth is. And as far as it goes with God, you don't have any say in the matter. If you're part of His, if you're His child, you're going to get a whooping, and you're going to get scourged. And when the Bible says scourge, it means scourge. Chastisement means correction. It means punishment. It means pain inflicted for punishment and correction, either by stripes or otherwise. Now, God uses His chastisement as His wisdom leads Him to do. The Bible says in Job, Job said, I have borne chastisement. I will not offend anymore. Now, Job had it right, see. He said he has borne chastisement, and what did it do? I will not offend anymore. You see how it goes? You see how it goes? Now, you figure America is 5% of the world's population. America houses 25% of the world's prisoners. What's that say to you? Oh, don't touch them now. Don't whip them. Don't hurt them. Don't cause no pain. Oh, you mean when he cut that woman's throat and her little girl's throat and everything else and caused all that pain and all that pain's going in that family, then we still shouldn't cause him no pain, though, right? I mean, where's these nuts reasoning come from? Well, it was just a bunch of nuts running off their mouth and they have no idea what correction is all about and how to keep a society in order, you know, and them still have liberty and have rights and have the privilege to leave the screen doors open at night and everything else. You see what happens when you take this correction away from a society and take the chastisement away. There ain't nobody saying that there's anything pretty about getting a whooping or punished or something like that, but it takes care of the problem. And brings that flesh back into submission. And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore is it in the hearts of man to continually do evil. Because they don't get a whooping right away, and they don't get punished right away. They get to go to jail and eat for free and sleep for free and see how many things they can get away with, and everybody else pay for it. And sit up in there for 30 years. Instead, they'll leave that judge's stand in front of the judge when he sentences them. They get their punishment, they get their sentencing, and take them right out and give it to them. And then it's over with. No more tax money spent, no more this. You're free to go, you paid your dues. And send him to the hospital and let his stripes get healed up and let him go on about his business. And it's done. And it's done, see? But that's not the world today. But that doesn't change God's opinion about things. And we're talking about God's family. We're talking about you, talking about myself and us being the son, being sons of God, sons of God. Now, chastisement, Job said, I have borne chastisement. I will not offend anymore. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, it says, but he was wounded for our transgression, but he was bruised for our iniquities. Jesus Christ got bruised and got beat and got wounded. And then it says, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Jesus took a whooping for you, and the government shouldn't shouldn't correct people for doing wrong. Even when they done wrong, Jesus didn't do wrong, but he got a whooping. It said the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Jesus took stripes. He took marks. He had his flesh torn open. And it wasn't even him, it wasn't even his fault. Now, he was innocent. But we're not supposed to scourge guilty people? What's it mean to scourge? Well, the word scourge is actually a Latin word that comes from Latin, and it means to straighten. It means to straighten. To straighten. To scourge something is to straighten it. To straighten it. It also means to whip. W-H-I-P. Whip. It means a punishment. It means vindictive affliction. And you don't think God, the Lord, gets jealous about things and gets angry about things with his children and their behavior and embarrassing him and upsetting God the Holy Ghost and things like that? You better believe it. It means to whip severely. It means to lash. It means to punish with severity. It means to chastise. It means to afflict. To afflict for sins or faults, and with the purpose of correction. Now, the Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And the Bible says that the Word of God is good for correction, for instruction, for rebuke, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And these are things that go along with chastisement. And you're going to see that in just a minute. We're going to go over a few things here. But let's talk about this matter. We see the definition. There's no hidden definition in here. The Bible knows what it's talking about when it's talking about chastisement. And the Lord didn't hide around a corner because he thought he was going to hurt anybody's feelings about whipping their hind end. And the Lord's not doesn't get upset about that. He will tear your hind end up in a hurry if he finds it necessary. And when you get a whooping from the Lord, you don't forget it. You don't forget it. And some of y'all are already shaking your head because you know what I'm talking about. But if you hadn't got a whooping from the Lord, then you've got one coming, or either you need to get saved. Because the Bible says if you're God's son, he corrects his children. He scourges his children. And you've seen what I just got through reading about the definition of scourge. That's not no warm, fuzzy, God ready to give everybody a hug and a kissy poo and all that kind of stuff. No, that's the Lord pulling his belt off and fixing to tear some hind ends up. Okay? Paul was talking about being scourged. Remember, now, if anybody got scourged, Paul did, but he got scourged for the wrong reasons. But the Lord, for the wrong reasons as far as the Pharisees and Sadducees and all of them go. But as far as in the Lord's plan for him, he got scourged. He got that time when he upset that crowd and the Roman soldiers took him and they was going to go scourge him right away. That's what the Romans done, man. They didn't waste no time. They just tie you up and whip you and find out what make you tell what's going on. You know, if they couldn't figure out what was going on and why everybody was mad at you, they'd just hook you up to a pole and get that whip on you and you'd be ready to tell them what was the matter. But, Paul said, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? Now, that's one time Paul took up for himself and he got out of a whooping. He didn't deserve it to begin with, but the Romans was fixing to whip him. And under Roman law, if they whipped somebody that was a Roman, uncondemned, man, they could get killed themselves because of the Roman law. But the Bible also says in Hebrews, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Did you hear that? Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. We talked about what that was, correction and punishment and pain inflicted. And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. He don't just chasten you and cause pain and give you correction and punishment. He scourges you. Scourges you. That means to punish with severity. With severity. To whip severely. You say, oh, I can't believe God does that. Just wait a few days. Just wait a few days. Keep doing all that stuff you're doing and think God doesn't see. And you're a child of God. Just keep on. Keep on and watch what happens. You'll know. You'll find out if he scourges. I mean, you ain't going to like it. You ain't going to like it, but you better get out of the idea of thinking that God's a big old fat Santa Claus with a big white beard and sitting on his white throne and waiting for everybody just to hurry and run in there and smell his lifesaver breath and just give him a big huggy kissy because he's so good. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son. Every son. All right. Well, let's go into some things here and find some things out about a Christian's chastisement and a Christian's scourging. The first thing we're going to talk about is under the category of chastisement. What about chastisement? Well, what are the signs of chastisement? The signs of chastisement. How do you know when somebody, what's the signs of chastisement? Well, one sign of chastisement is sonship. Only sons get whipped. Only sons that belong to the Lord and are in his family are the ones that endure chastening. God doesn't bother with whipping the unsaved. They're going to hell. They're going into the lake of fire. And he's going to punish them for eternity. He's not trying to correct them. He's trying to get them to come to the Lord Jesus Christ before they die and go into eternity and go to hell. But as far as fathering them, the Lord's not fathering them. The Bible says the wrath of God abides on them. He's mad at them every day. Every day. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 7, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Well, one sign of chastisement is sonship. Sons. That means that you are a son if you're getting a whipping from the Lord. If you're getting corrected, you're getting chastised from the Lord, that is evidence, that's a sign that you are a son of God. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 5, the Bible says, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. You've seen people get whipped, well, maybe not this generation, but our generation had. I've seen people get tore up, and some of my buddies would get it, and their daddy would put it on them right there in front of everybody. And you know what that did? That put the fear in us, buddy. I was going to hit the road and start running, go home, because I didn't want none of that. And you'd be surprised how much trouble you could stay out of watching somebody else get a whooping. And you watching your brothers and sisters and being a son of God getting a whooping. That'd do a lot of straightening up, too. But a sign of sonship, that is what a sign of chastisement is a sign of sonship. What else? A sign of chastisement is God the Father's love. God the Father's love. You say, what? Yeah, that's right. See, the world got it all mixed up because if they really got God's love, but they'd be backing out and not be wanting God's love if they found out if they really out. Now, God loves everybody. No, he don't. He don't love you. If he ain't tearing you high, okay, well, you getting a whooping? Well, what do you mean? Well, you said God loves everybody. You ought to be getting a whooping. You see, some people just running that flap or running that hole in their face and just letting that stuff pour out of their mouth and they got no idea what they're talking about. A sign of chastisement is God the Father's love. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 11 and 12, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the Father the Son, in whom he delighteth. So God loves you, and he proves it. How? By giving you a whooping, by chastening you. And you say, well, that ain't love. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. The world's the only one that's changing the definitions and the truth about chastisement and scourging. The love part of it hadn't changed. And any of y'all has ever had a whipping, you know that the person that took time to go through the pain to give you a whooping and to correct you, that you know they love you. You know they love you. Or now, I ain't talking about this other stuff now, boy, people are getting beat to death and stuff like that. I'm talking about chastisement. And God doesn't unfairly or unjustly treat his sons, ever. Job chapter 5, verse 17 says, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Did you hear that? Happy is the man whom God correcteth. Now, where are you going to go with that? You say correction is all bad and you shouldn't whip nobody and you shouldn't punish nobody and shouldn't chastise nobody. God says it makes you happy. Happy is the man that God correcteth, therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. Now either God's telling the truth and his whippings will end up making you happy, or either he's a liar. And I know God's not a liar, don't you? Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24 says, he that spareth his rod. Did you hear that? A rod. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Well, that's different than what the world says, ain't it? The Lord says, put your rod away and don't beat your son. And see what happens. And we do. We see what happens. His face gets put on the headlines for blowing away 15 people in a school or something, when all it would have took was a good scourging. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now, that betimes means not 14, 15 times. What betimes actually means is right away. Right away. Ain't no, well, that's one. That's one and a half. That's two. That's two and a half. That's two and three-eighths. That's two and five-sixteenths. You hear all that stuff in the grocery store and this kid screaming his guts out, driving everybody else nuts in the store, and all he needs is a good bent over and spanking that bottom, and he'll sit down and hush. But you hear him, that's two and an eighth, that's two and three-sixteenths. The Bible says, but he that loveth him chasteneth betimes right away. The Bible says that a good father keeps his children with all gravity. He holds them down with all gravity. Don't let them run crooked and run crazy and do all the stupid stuff that the government's teaching them how to do now. All right? Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. That's what we read. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, and he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. What are we talking about? A sign of chastisement. A sign of chastisement is sonship. A sign of chastisement is God the Father's love. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, the Bible says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. God says if he loves you, he's going to beat you. I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Say you're sorry and mean it. And change that thing. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you don't confess it, you're going to get beat. Now, that's what the Bible says. And if you're not getting beat and you're not getting a whipping, you're not getting chastisement, then you are not a son, and God does not love you as far as a father's love. The wrath of God is on you. The Bible says in Hebrews, listen to this. Now, we're talking about a sign of chastisement. The signs of chastisement. Chastisement is a sign of sonship. It's a sign of God the Father's love. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 and 6 says, "And if ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son with whom he receiveth." Every son. What else? Well, the signs of chastisement, not only that, but things chastisement is designed for. What is chastisement designed for, according to the scriptures? Well, chastisement is designed to correct. To correct. And I don't think there's anybody that would be that's lost their marbles enough that's listening to this that would even try to say that they don't need any correction. I don't think there's anybody out there, is there? to say that you don't need any correction. The Lord says all are partakers. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Chastisement is designed for, is designed to correct. It's designed to correct. And the Lord's whippings and the Lord's scourging and his chastisement do correct. You will correct something when the Lord gets after you. Or you will die and you'll go on home. Or you will, the Lord will put you in something that you'll wish you had listened to his whipping. And you don't want to have to get the second beating for the same thing from the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 5, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place in the land of the Chaldeans for their good." The Lord, when they were exiled, the Jews were exiled, and God told them, He said, "Everybody stays here and doesn't go into captivity is going to die. You're going to starve to death. And I'm going to kill every one of you." He said, "But if you yield and you go ahead and take your punishment and go and be slaves to these people, in the land of the Chaldeans, it'll be for your good." In other words, you'll stay alive, you'll eat and everything else, but your punishment, you're going to take your punishment. And one thing that a lot of people are suffering with, a lot of Christians are suffering, I know a few of them are suffering with, is that you won't take your punishment. God's going to give it to you. It's designed to correct you, and until you take it, it's not going to help you. You've got to take your punishment. Take your medicine. That's what the Lord says. He says, and when you yield to your punishment, then it's going to help you. When you yield to your whipping, it's going to help you. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 11, the Bible says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction." It doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt and it doesn't have pain in it and you wish it was over with and you learn your lesson and this could all be over with. It will be over with as soon as God sees that you've learned your lesson and you take your medicine. You take your whipping. And until you do and you take your punishment, then it's probably going to still be there because you've got to accept it. You've got to accept it. You can't run from God's scourging and his hand forever. I mean, he's going to keep whipping you until you say you're sorry and until you get that thing right and you take your punishment. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 28, the Bible says, "But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction." Nor receiveth correction. Boy, that must be talking about America. nor receiveth correction. You see how important that is? This is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Receiving your correction is very important. It's very important because it is designed for that. It's designed to correct. It's to bring you to a point of correction. And to correct you, to make you not wrong anymore, but right. To not do the wrong thing anymore, to not pick the wrong thing anymore, to do the right thing. And to obey the voice of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. For instruction in righteousness. All of God's Word is good for correction. You say, the chastisement, what's it designed for? It's designed to correct. It's designed to correct. And as long as you won't accept your correction, you're probably going to keep on getting it. Galatians chapter 5, you have to agree with the Lord and tell the Lord the truth. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's what correction and getting a whooping and accepting your punishment is going to end up like. It's going to end up with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and meekness and temperance. Against such, there is no law. You won't need a whooping when you get them things perfected in you. That's what we're striving for. That's the idea, is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 15 and verse 8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Chastisement is designed to bear fruit. Chastisement is designed to correct. It's designed to bear fruit. The Bible says in Galatians there, where we just got through reading, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And then the Lord Jesus Christ said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Much fruit. As much as you can bear. But sometimes it takes chastisement. Chastisement is designed to produce fruit. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about things chastisement is designed for. It's designed to correct. It's designed to produce fruit. What else? Chastisement is designed to bless the child of God. You say, getting a whooping is to bless you? Yep. Yep. Sure is. Listen to this. Psalm 94, verse 11 through 14. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teacheth him out of thy law. Did you hear what he said you are when the Lord chastens you and teaches you out of his law? You're blessed. That thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity. You yourself say you're tired of the way things are going. You're tired of all the adversary and the adversity that's in your life and everything else. Well, that's the ideal, what God's trying to do. That thou mayest give him rest in the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. The Lord's faithful. He's a good father and takes his fatherhood seriously. We're talking about chastisement. What else? Chastisement is designed to bless the child of God. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. When you get a whooping, there ain't nothing going to be joyous about it. And you're not going to be, well, thank you, Lord, thank you for the whooping. Woo-hoo-hoo. No, it's going to be grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, after the whooping's over, it's going to yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby, the ones that are getting the whooping. So you see, God says completely different than what the world says. God says if you get a whooping and you get corrected and you get chastised, that it's grievous, yes. Who didn't know that? Duh. But it says that afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You know what righteousness is? Doing the right thing. Righteousness. Right. Doing the right thing, not the wrong thing. It yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. When you get a whooping, you turn righteous. You start doing the right thing. That's what the Bible says. And we know that to be true because God says it, number one, and we see the fruit of it work, or at least we did. You can't today. Only thing you can see now is 14-year-olds getting 12-year-olds pregnant and then choking them to death and killing them. And that's true. That's true, by the way. And 5-year-olds hanging themselves, committing suicide. It's on their death certificate. Yeah. But don't give them no whooping. That'd have hurt them. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Chastening is designed to bless the child of God. God says, no matter what the world says, you're getting a whooping. And it's designed to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm not going to let you run around and act like an idiot and do the things that give the heathen, that ruin your testimony and your walk and your testimony of Jesus Christ and your love for the Word of God. I'm a better father than that. I'm not going to let you run around and spoil all that in front of the world and to behave like you're behaving in front of the world. You're a child of God. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 9 through 11, for my name's sake will I defer my anger, and for my praise will I refrain from thee, that I cut thee not off. I don't kill you. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. Did you hear what God said? He said that he'll put you through the furnace of affliction. And he'll do it for his own sake. Because he's not going to let you pollute his name as his son. And I will not give my glory to another. God says, my glory is my glory. You're my son, and you ought to be giving me glory. You ought to be living, and your manner of living and your conversation in the world and before the world ought to be giving God glory as your heavenly Father for the things that you appreciate and admire about him and what he's done for you, instead of running around embarrassing him and polluting his name, and especially the name of his son. Chastisement. What else does chastisement do? It defers God's anger. That's what we just read. It defers God's anger. He said, for my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain from thee, that I cut thee off, cut thee not off. Wonder how many times the Lord has had to do that with us. In misbehaving and polluting his name down here and just acting like a bunch of fools. And the Lord said, I have to defer my anger sometimes to keep from killing you. But I know some fellows that were God's children, our brothers and sisters, and the Lord took it and took it and took it, and finally, come on home, you're dead. Yep. Sure do. And the Lord will do it in just a minute. He's not going to let you stay down here and pollute His name for long. And He'll give you a whipping, and you'll either repent and you'll tell God you're sorry, and you'll take your punishment and take your chastisement and the scourging, and then you'll thank Him, and you'll start yielding the peaceable fruit of righteousness and learning and giving Him praise and living a good life then in peace, instead of running around in this wicked world and doing all this mess that's in this world and agreeing with it. Or you can let the Lord just beat you all the way to heaven. What else? Well, so far we're talking about chastisement, and we talked about the signs of chastisement, and we talked about what chastisement is designed for. Now we're going to talk about the scriptural response to chastisement. What does the Bible say that you're supposed to, how you're supposed to respond to God's chastisement, to God's scourging? Well, the first thing is you're supposed to respond, your response should be repentance. You should admit what's wrong, admit to God. You don't think God already knows? He already knows. He already knows. That's why you're getting a whooping. But He needs you to say so. If we confess our sins, that you tell Him the truth. Matthew chapter 9, verse 13 says, "But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." That's the Lord talking about bringing the lost. He didn't come to call the righteous, the ones that are doing right. He come to take care of the problems with the sinners and bring them to repentance. And especially if you're a child of God. If you're a child of God, you ought to be ready to repent. You ought to be ready to tell God you're sorry when you do something wrong, and then confess it to Him and get that thing right before Him. I mean, He's given you the privilege of being able to confess it to Him before you get a whooping. And then He says He'll forgive you. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I mean, He forgives what you confess, and then even cleanses when you start confessing. He cleanses you of everything that you didn't that you haven't confessed, that you forgot about, and cleanses you from all unrighteousness. That's what the Bible says. Why wouldn't you want to be cleansed that easily? Instead of getting all proud and haughty and running around here all proud and everything and make the Lord beat it out of you. Mark chapter 1, verse 15 says, "And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." You see, scriptural response to chastisement is repentance. The Bible says in Luke chapter 15, verse 7, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." So you see, there are such things as brothers and sisters that are living right before the Lord and don't need to repent because they're walking with the Lord. But the Lord Jesus Christ said that joy shall be in heaven every time one says they're sorry and repents and confesses to the Lord and gets that thing right. And gets it right. Now, I know, of course, this is talking about the gospel and it's talking about being born again also in there, but it applies. It applies. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, listen to this, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. If God is after the unsaved, and He was when He was after you, and He come and got you and had mercy on you and got you saved and and took away your sins and forgave your sins, and you're at peace with the Father, and you have a Heavenly Father that loves you and wants to take care of you and is going to chasten you, why wouldn't you just tell the Lord the truth and confess it and tell Him the truth and forsake that thing and get it right with the Lord? And get it right with the Lord. Part, what we're talking about is suffering and trials. And chastening is part of it. Because suffering and trials apply to Christians, apply to God's children. The Lord makes the ungodly suffer, but they make themselves suffer, and they're going to suffer plenty whenever they go into eternity. But as far as fatherhood and as far as God's family, Christians suffer and go through trials. We've seen that. And also, they are chastened. They are chastened. So the scriptural response to being chastised is to repent. Repent. What else? Well, response should be submission. Instead of trying to run from God and try to act like you're trying to tell Him that you're right and He's wrong and that you had reason for that and all the excuses in the stinking world, just submit. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, listen to this. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of revelations there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Remember, we talked about that. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me, and He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So what'd Paul do? Well, most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. He submitted. He stopped asking the Lord for that thing and submitted. The Lord said, this is the way it's going to be. You say, okay, Lord. Okay. I submit. Yeah. That's the way you do it. Psalm chapter 81. Listen to this. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto Him. But their time should have endured. But their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and the honey out of the rocks should I have satisfied thee. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto Him because of what God had all the goodness to give to them. But they didn't submit. And the Bible compares somebody that hates God, and you talk to any God haters nowadays, and they'll sure show you in a hurry that the first thing about them is that they're not submitting to God. As a matter of fact, they'll talk just as nasty and ungodly and disrespectful about God as they possibly can. When you bring it up and you tell them that they need to be saved, they'll tell you, I ain't serving, I hate. They can tell they're haters of God because they won't submit themselves. And they say they're never going to submit to Him. They're not going to serve a God that kills and does this and does that and blabbity blabbity blab. What they really mean is that if I serve Him, then He's going to make me stop doing my boo-boos and my sin-sins and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. What else? Romans chapter 10 and verse 3. What are we talking about? We're talking about your response to chastening should be submission. Submission. Romans chapter 10, verse 3. The Bible says, For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You are to submit. You're not only to repent, but you are to submit. Submit. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. So, what's the scriptural response to chastisement? Repentance. A response should be submission. And what else? Well, a response should be endurance. Endurance. We talked about that on the last lesson a little bit, I think. But we're talking about specifically getting a whooping. Endure it. Don't get angry with the Lord. You deserve it. The Lord says this is the way it's going to be. This is the way it's coming. And endure it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 7, that was 12 verse 5, but Hebrews chapter 12 verse 7 says, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" Endure it. 2 Timothy 4, 5 says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Now, we're talking about getting a whooping and scourging from the Lord. This was talking to Timothy about how to walk as an elder and walk as somebody in charge. But it applies. It applies. Endure afflictions. And getting a whooping from the Lord is an affliction. But it's not like it's not like a sinner's affliction for doing wrong. It's getting corrected. Getting corrected. Okay, what else? James chapter 1, verse 12. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Endure. Endurance. Your response should be endurance. I'm going to take this. I'm going to take my punishment. I'm going to take my whipping, and I'm going to get through this and get on and forget about it. James chapter 1 and verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man that endures temptation." Just read that. And James chapter 5 and verse 11, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Just take your whipping and thank the Lord for it, and learn what you need to learn and move on. And you can't hide from the Lord. You can't hide from him forever. You're going to be as miserable as you can be until you submit and you repent and you endure this thing. And what else? Well, a response should not only be the chastisement designed to correct. We said that. It's designed to produce fruit. It's designed to bless the child of God. And it's designed, it defers God's anger. Remember that? Okay, and then we said the scriptural response for chastisement when you're under chastisement or being scourged by the Lord. How should you respond? Well, repent and submit. Don't let pride overtake you and get you a longer whooping than the Lord wants you to have. I mean, just repent. And submit and endure it. And then, lastly, your response should be confession. Tell the Lord the truth. He already knows what the truth is. Tell him in detail. I'm not talking about with anybody else, just you and him. Tell him exactly what you did, how you did it, how come you hadn't been back to see him about it, how come you won't answer him, how come you won't pay attention to him, how come you won't take your punishment, and it's my fault, Lord, and no excuse, Lord. And tell him the truth in detail so he knows that you're speaking from your heart and you're telling the truth and you're submitting, repenting, and confessing that thing. And get it done and get it over with. 1 John chapter 1, listen to this, and verse 8 through 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Don't get no plainer and simpler than that, brothers and sisters. The Bible says all of us get a whooping, and we all get a whooping probably for around the same reasons. For not confessing and not telling the Lord the truth. And not wanting to come up out of the mess that we got ourselves in. And because of fear and all these things. The Lord will take care of everything. You just do what the Lord says. That's what you do. James chapter 5 and verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Availeth much. So don't think that it's meaningless or that this matter of chastisement is some kind of a light thing or something like that. It's very serious to the Lord. And the Lord wants you to be all right, and he wants his children to be all right, and he wants you to grow, and he don't want you out there suffering with the world's yoke on you. He wants the Lord Jesus Christ's yoke on you. That's easy and light. Now, finally, what forms of chastisement does the Lord use? Well, there's four forms of chastisement that are used as examples in the scriptures. The first one is the thorn. Remember, we talked about that. Brother Paul spoke about that quite a bit in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 through 9. If you have a thorn in your flesh, and the Lord might have been the one that stuck it in there for you, and he might be leaving it in there until you get things right, or he might just leave it in there like he done Paul's to keep you humble. 2 Corinthians is designed, the thorn is to keep us humble and to prevent sin, to keep us from going places and doing things that we're not supposed to be doing, to prevent sin. It's for reproof, the thorn. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 through 9, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. You see, it was preventive maintenance. It was reproof. It was a thorn. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, Paul had a thorn. Paul had a thorn, and it was for reproof, and it was for keeping him humble and to prevent sin. To prevent sin. What else? Well, the Bible talks about the knife. The knife. The Bible says in John chapter 15 and verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. The knife's used for pruning to keep us fruitful and healthy and to bear even more fruit. Also to teach us doctrine. And what is doctrine? Doctrine is what is and is not. right and wrong. That's to teach us. He cuts those branches that aren't any good, and where we can bear more fruit. It's for doctrine. It's for doctrine. So the knife, we're talking about, we said the thorn is a form of chastisement, and the knife is a form of chastisement for pruning. All right, what else? The Word of God. The Word of God is a form of chastisement. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 3, "Now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you." Now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking there. The Word of God is to keep us clean from the world and from the flesh and from the devil. It deals directly with the heart. It's called the instruction in righteousness. Instruction in righteousness. Remember, the Bible said that the Word of God is good for reproof, for correction, for doctrine, for instruction in righteousness. So the thorn is reproof. The knife is for doctrine. The Word of God is for instruction in righteousness. And there's one more. It's the whip, the scourge. And what's it for? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." The whip is to keep us heavenly minded and dependent upon God. It also helps us not to have to repeat lessons that we've already been taught once before. The whip is the correction. The Word of God is the instruction in righteousness. The knife is for doctrine, to teach you doctrine, that you be fruitful and healthy. And the thorn is for reproof to humble us and keep us humble. Talking about chastisement. And these ways are the ways that the Lord uses to help us and to get us through things while we're here in the flesh, abiding in the flesh, waiting on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this concludes our study on suffering and trials. I want to thank you for honoring the Lord and following through with your allegiance to Him. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And the Lord also says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." He careth for you. So we see suffering and trials, suffering and trials. I hope that this has helped, and I'm sure it has. I hope that that you'll obey God the Holy Ghost and what He has instructed you to do. He's told you how to fix things, told you what to do through this lesson, through His Word, and that you'll follow through and you'll stay with this, stay with these lessons or whatever lessons it is that you are studying God's Word, but you'll stay in God's Word and study along with some brothers and sisters. And that's what helps us and keeps us in good relationship with our Heavenly Father. Amen. All right. Well, it's been wonderful studying this suffering and trials with you. And we'll be going into another study. QRST. And if I hadn't stuck anything else in there, another S or something like that, then we'll go into T on our next lesson. If not, then we'll go into whatever comes up after this, okay? Well, I sure have enjoyed this, and I've learned, isn't it good to have a Lord that loves us enough to teach us and tell us how He does things in His Word so we don't have to be blind to everything? Praise this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful name. I hope you have a wonderful evening, and the Lord bless you. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.